Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yesterday we started a new chapter, Babu Ma Yubahu Min Al-Ghiba, a chapter on the lawful instances of backbiting, under which circumstances it will be permissible to expose some fault, some wrong of a fellow Muslim, obviously in his absence, which instances it will be permissible. And then we explain that Sharia allows for disclosing the fault of a fellow Muslim when there is a valid Sharia objective. And then if there is no other alternative, so one is there is a valid Sharia objective, and there is no other alternative to achieve that objective, then now only it will be permissible to speak about your fellow Muslim brother. So this is the amount of respect Islam has kept for the Muslim, for your brother, for every person's brother, for each person. There is so much of respect that until and unless there is no other alternative, there is no other route you can take to achieve this Sharia objective, then there is no permissible, there is no allowance for you to speak anything against your Muslim brother. So much of respect Islam has got and made it so important to look after the respect and honor of every single person. So yesterday we did three such objectives. Today we will continue and we'll do the balance of these three. So the fourth one is warning the Muslims about an evil and advising them. There are various forms of this. So if person may have some evil quality in him, some evil trait. Now to bring warning to the Muslims in general, or to warn one single person, then it is permissible. But now there's few examples of this. So the first example, declaring certain narrators and witnesses of hadith as unreliable. This is permissible by consensus of the Muslim scholars. What is meant by this? That when every hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes down to us with a chain of narrators. Now there are certain people that have mastered the art, especially in those times and those ages, that they know the asma al-rijal, the names of the people. They did jarh wa ta'dil, that they're able to identify every narrator in that hadith, and they know the history of the narrator, his ability, his memory, has he got any track record of speaking anything, of narrating anything that may be lies, that may be fabricated, or has he got a track record of making mistakes when he's narrating a hadith. So everything of every person they recorded there for the benefit of making hifazat, of protecting the hadith that is coming to us of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something that is necessary. In fact, ulama say that it is necessary for them to have done this exercise to ensure that the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are preserved to us. If they didn't do that exercise, we wouldn't know what hadith is weak, what hadith is strong, which ones we can rely on, which we cannot rely on. This is something unique to the deen of Islam. No other religion has got this. But when the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are maintained, and not only the words are maintained, this chain of narrators also are maintained together with those words. So if it's clear to everyone to see how honest, how just, how good a person, how pious a person was that narrated those hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, من كذب علي متعمدا فليتبوع مقعده في النار. That person who deliberately attributes something to me, knowing that it is lies, it is fabricated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sounding a warning. فليتبوع مقعده في النار. That person should prepare his abode in Jahannam. A person actually preparing his abode in Jahannam by quoting something and attributing something to me which I did not say. Why? Because now this is interfering with deen. It is adding something to deen. It is introducing something to deen that was not said by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So under point number 4, this is the first number. The next is seeking advice and counsel regarding a person for the purpose of marriage, business partnership, giving a trust, engaging in some transaction, or being a neighbor. The person whose advice is requested should not conceal his condition. So the person who is being asked, now at that time he should reveal. Somebody is phoning us for a reference for a marriage. Now at that time to conceal something that we know would be wrong. If for whatever reason we don't want to say, we don't have the heart to say, put that person on to somebody else who will tell him the truth. Why? Because it's important. He's giving his daughter there. If that person now is not told that what is the fault with the boy, what problems that boy got, his akhlaq, etc., and the man's daughter, her life can get ruined. Why? Because that reference was given was wrong. So here this is explaining that the person that is being asked, he should at that time now, he should not conceal Right? This person is genuinely asking, or he wants to go into partnership with somebody, or he's buying a house and he wants to find out how's the neighbor. Because sometimes when a person buys a house, if the neighbor is not right, he can create hell for that person. He makes it very, very difficult for that person to have such a troublesome neighbor. And so what he's saying, that the person should be asked, should mention everything. He should not conceal anything. Rather, he should mention his qualities with the intention of advice, with the intention of nasihat. Now, this person has asked me, I'm telling him what I know. I'm not doing it with the niyat that I want to disclose and I want to find faults with the person that he's asking about, but out of niyat for advising that person. This also is very important. As Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he mentioned that one person, he came for a proposal. He came to a proposal to one house, and he borrowed his friend's BMW. That time he borrowed his BMW and he came to the house there. And he created the impression that he's a very wealthy person and he's very well to do. So when they had asked him, the family had asked him that what job does he do? So he says he owns a fleet of buses. So they said, mashallah, they thought to themselves that this person is very financially stable and everything. After he got married, they realized that this person was a bus driver. He didn't own the buses, but he was a bus driver. So anyway, khair, so sometimes people can deceive like that. So therefore, when a person has been asked something, then he should be very honest. And the person himself who's going into that deal, who's going into that marriage, who's going into that partnership, whatever it is, he himself should be very honest and very clear about what he's doing. This is something that is an amanat. The next thing, if one sees a student studying fiqh under a person who is involved in bid'at, hadith, or is a flagrant sinner, and he fears that the student will be harmed by it, then it is necessary for him to advise the student of his teacher's condition, provided that his objective is to give advice. In this, one may easily err, as the speaker is sometimes prompted by jealousy, and shaitan confuses him, causing him to think that it is good advice. He should be wary of this. This is very important. Sometimes the person will just listen to anybody. Nowadays, it's from that time when it was, the person will go to a teacher, and this teacher is teaching wrong things. He's got the wrong akidah. He may be coming across as a very flowery speaker, as a very immaculate speaker. His speech also may sound very, very nice. His ability to orate is very good, but what he's saying is wrong. At that time, a person can tell the student, be careful for this person. This is wrong, that is wrong, this is what he's not saying right. This is very important, especially now in the YouTube age. People try to listen to anything. Anybody that sounds nice, that's got a good ability to present, we generally fall for that type of person. We'll be very, very careful. Deen is something we must be very careful who we take our deen from. Abun bin Sirin rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, inna hadha al-ilma deenun, that this knowledge that you're getting, this is your deen. Fanzuru amman ta'khuduna deenakum, be very careful who you take your deen from. It's not about a person's ability to orate, a person's ability to speak on YouTube and all. That's not the ability. The ability is this person teaching me in the spirit, teaching me correct things in the spirit of Quran and Sunnah. If that is being done, then I should be taking from him. I shouldn't be carried away by the language, and sometimes it's being carried away by the accent, and sometimes being carried away by the person's tone and intonations. The person should be very, very careful about this. The next thing is, a person in a position of authority which he does not administer correctly, either because he's incompetent, he's a flagrant sinner, he's negligent, or due to a similar reason, it is necessary to inform a person in a higher authority to remove such a person from his position and appoint someone who is competent, or so that he is at least aware of the person and can deal with him accordingly and not be deceived by him, and he may encourage him to rectify his affairs or replace him. The person has got some management position, but he's not fulfilling that position. So many people are suffering. We can see practically in our times, in our age, in our country also, people in management positions, sometimes in government departments, because they're not fulfilling their position, whole community is suffering. Whole community is suffering. Things can't get passed. There's a problem as far as the person's accounts are concerned. There's so many different problems, in the, whether it's health, whether it's to do with a person's social work, grants, etc., whether it's to do with fraud, whether it's to do with money matters. So many different problems. Because people are put in positions that are not fulfilling the position. So here it is saying, if you know of such a person that's in a position, and if you know somebody higher than him who can rectify the situation, then that person should be spoken to. Number 5, a person who publicizes his sin or bid'ah. In other words, a person is an open sinner. He's not hiding his sin. What is the person who makes a mistake and quietly is doing it? That type of person, we don't expose it. But when a person is openly, flagrantly committing a bid'ah or a sin, such as one who consumes alcohol publicly, he usurps the property of people, he collects unjust customs and taxes from people, or he handles false matters. It is permissible to mention the sins he commits publicly, but it is haram to mention any of his other faults unless it is for an objective we mentioned previously. And the last one is for the purposes of identification. If a person is known by a certain defect, such as having an eye problem, being lame, deaf, blind, squint-eyed, etc., then it is permissible to mention them as such, but it is haram to use such words in a derogatory way. If it is possible to describe such a person by other means, then these should be utilized. Here again, sometimes a person needs to describe a person. Now he is, for example, it was somebody that came and stole something from his house. So now he needs to report to the police. This is what the description of the person. Now at that time, you won't say this person is picking out some fault. If he says that the thief was short, he was fat, or the thief had one eye, and the thief had some other problem, you won't say now this person is exposing some fault. At that time, it is necessary for description purposes. Or he's giving a parcel. I'll give a parcel to someone. I said, when you go to Makkah Sharif, you'll see a certain person. He limps and he walks. He sits there near the Maqam Ibrahim. This is his spot, little bit there. He sits to go and look for him. You will see, generally, when he's walking, he's got a limp, or he's got one hand, or I identify about that person. Now, the niyat is not to try and expose any fault, but to make it easy for the person that is going to look for this person for identification purposes. Here again, it is not for any fault. The respect of the person is kept, but at the same time, it makes it easier for the person that needs to identify. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. See how beautiful our deen is. Which other deen will teach you these things? Look after the respect of a person to such an extent, and only in these conditions you may expose it, and that to that extent. That extent means, if you have to speak about that person, don't start talking about his grandfather and his grandmother and his brother did this and his sister did that and his other family members. There's no need for all that. The person who has been asked about a specific person, he mentions about the specific person to the specific extent also, and he doesn't go beyond that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.